This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we begin today in East Boston, where community members are protesting an electrical substation project that has been in the works for years. Now, Eversource wants to build the substation in a flood-prone area near Chelsea Creek. That's across the street from a popular playground and near tanks of jet fuel for Logan Airport. The utility says the project poses little risk to the public, while local residents worry it could catch fire and explode. And there's another complication. Many of the residents in this densely populated community who would be affected by the project speak Spanish as their first language and have complained that the Department of Public Utilities and the Energy Facility Siting Board, those are the two state bodies charged with permitting the project, have failed to make the siting process accessible for them to participate. So this is a microcosm of environmental justice issues, and here to talk with us about it is WBUR's Miriam Wasser. Hey there, Miriam.
Hey, Tiziana.
Okay, so let's start with the project. Why is it up for consideration in the first place, and why are we talking about it now?
Yeah, sure. So electrical substations are those networks of metal towers, lattice structures, and wires that you might see along the street or behind a tall fence. They're really ugly, but they're a really important part of our energy infrastructure. Basically, when electricity comes out of a power plant, it's at a really high voltage. And it stays at that voltage to travel long distances, but then it needs to be at a lower voltage when it gets to your house. So substations are what make that possible. An analogy that I like to use is if you think of the high voltage lines as a highway and the lower voltage lines as the streets leading to your neighborhood, a substation is sort of like the off-ramp. It slows things down because you can't drive 65 miles an hour on local streets. So we need substations. But the question in this case is, do we need one in East Boston on the Chelsea Creek? And as you mentioned before, the utility Eversource, which is the company that wants to build it, says we do. They proposed this project in 2014 and argued that it was necessary to meet the electricity needs of the community and Logan Airport. But as for your second question...
Yes, there we go.
I was going to say, right. So as for your second question, we're talking about it now because the state looks poised to make a final decision about whether to greenlight the project next week.
Okay, that's really clear. Perfect. So now, why is it controversial in East Boston? Why are people so concerned about it?
Yeah, so people are concerned about the substation for a few reasons. The first is that it's located near the banks of Chelsea Creek in an area, as you mentioned, that is prone to flooding. And, you know, water and electricity don't really mix. Eversource says it's taking the appropriate precautions to prevent the station from flooding. But with climate change, people in the area are understandably concerned about more extreme flooding and storms. It's also located across the street, as you mentioned, from a popular playground and in a densely populated neighborhood full of old wooden triple deckers. And I've talked to people who are concerned about kids climbing the fence and getting electrocuted, or what could happen if the station catches fire. It's super rare, but electrical substations have been known to catch fire and explode. And maybe you remember seeing viral videos of like a bright blue and green exploding light thing during Hurricane Sandy. That was an electrical substation that blew up.
Huh.
And just in terms of the landscape of this area, I don't know how many of our listeners have been to this part of East Boston, but this is an area that's already full of industrial infrastructure. It sits a couple hundred feet away from big tanks of jet fuel and heating oil and all the salt we use on the streets during the winter. There's a lot of air pollution from the airport and truck traffic. And as people in the community will tell you, this is just an overburdened environmental justice community, and they feel like this substation is just one more thing that they have to shoulder.
So does it have to be there? I mean, let's stipulate the company needs it. Does it have to be there? Could it be somewhere else and still meet the needs the company has?
In theory, it could. You know, Eversource wants to put it here because they already own this land, and so that makes the whole process easier. But people in the community say they'd rather see it elsewhere. And a number of people have brought up the airport, which is actually, you know, a couple hundred feet away and has 24/7 security. It's safeguarded from flooding and is farther away from where people live. To date, though, this hasn't really been something that the state has considered as a possibility.
Okay, so now part of the reason that we're talking about this, there's a big vote next week, but the process has been an issue. Community involvement in the permitting or the siting process has been an issue. So can you explain that for us?
Yes, totally. There have been problems since this project was first proposed back in 2014. You know, as you mentioned, many residents of East Boston and Chelsea don't speak English. And at some of the very early public meetings, there was subpar, if any, translation. And in more recent meetings, there has been real-time translation, but a lot of those translators aren't necessarily experts in energy policy. And these meetings are really long and they involve a lot of high-level conversation about complicated energy systems. And if the translator is confused, we can probably assume that means that the Spanish-speaking public isn't getting the same thing out of the meeting as their English-speaking counterparts. Okay. And just to kind of give you a sense of the scope of the problem, the nonprofit Green Roots, which has been leading the opposition to the substation, along with the Conservation Law Foundation and Lawyers for Civil Rights, actually filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency earlier this month for failing to investigate earlier allegations about language access problems in this particular problem, in this particular project, excuse me.
Okay.
So we could talk about that more later if you'd like, but more immediately, as we mentioned before, there is this really important meeting next week that could decide the fate of the project. The Energy Facility Siting Board, or the EFSB, as people call it, which has the final say, is holding its final meeting about the substation from 1 to 8 p.m. on Monday, with some opportunity for overflow on Tuesday. And this is a huge chunk of the day and a time when many of the people who want to talk about the project are either at work or helping their kids with remote schooling, or simply trying to survive a pandemic that's hit this neighborhood particularly hard.
So I'll stop you there, Miriam. I know you know, I'll pick back up with you. I know you know we have another guest, and I'd like to add that voice here. So thank you for standing by. I'm going to turn now for a minute to Roseanne Bongiovanni, who is the executive director for Green Roots Chelsea. One of the, it's a nonprofit organization actually engaged in that lawsuit that you mentioned, Miriam. So I'll turn to Roseanne. Roseanne, welcome to you, to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me today.
Sure. So, Roseanne, briefly, in your mind, what is at stake for your community in regards to this electrical substation?
Sure. What's at stake with this electrical substation is yet another piece of infrastructure that is being shouldered by an already disproportionately burdened community in East Boston. As Miriam so eloquently stated, this isn't a community that is saying, we don't want this in our backyard. Rather, this is a neighborhood that is saying, we already have too much in our backyard. This community in East Boston is already home to all of the jet fuel that's used at Logan International Airport. And along the banks of the Chelsea Creek, we store 70 to 80% of New England's regional heating fuel and road salt for over 350 communities in the Northeast. As you know,
so,
East Boston is, sorry.
No, no, go ahead.
Just
finish that.
A disproportionately overburdened community that has some of the most compromised public health and the most severe environmental hazards in the greater Boston area.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I want to ask it. Could there be any benefits to having an electrical substation in the community? I mean, obviously the service that it provides is necessary.
Sure. So the company has said that this substation is needed to ensure that the reliability of electricity is there for East Boston and greater areas. However, our research and research of experts that we've engaged has stated the opposite. This substation actually isn't needed. There really haven't been brownouts or blackouts in this neighborhood, and the reliability isn't a question as we're moving towards more energy efficient appliances, and our homes are more energy efficient, and the projections for the energy demands have actually decreased as opposed to increase, which is what the company said almost 10 years ago when it first proposed this infrastructure. And
okay,
I would
so
just
you're
add ordering... that there's newer, more reliable, more resilient infrastructure that could be used in its place, like microgrids, which we're proposing in Chelsea, community-owned microgrids.
So you are part of this lawsuit against the EPA for failing to investigate or declining to investigate language access concerns during the process. What do you want to accomplish with the lawsuit? What's the desired outcome?
I think the desired outcome is the long game. So it won't necessarily impact this specific project, but the long game is that community members and some of the most impacted environmental justice communities in Massachusetts and throughout the nation should have every equal right to access these so-called public hearings and processes. They should be able to be meaningfully involved in the decisions that are impacting their neighborhoods. And presently, that is not the case. When this project was first proposed in 2014, there was no public hearing in East Boston. There was no public meeting. Folks in East Boston didn't know about it. There was no information provided in English, nor in Spanish or any other language. And when we pushed back on the state and asked for interpretation 5 years later, 3 years later, they basically balked at us and said it would be too disruptive to provide interpretation for folks to be involved in this permitting process.
But they did eventually start providing at least some translation, right, Roseanne? They did eventually start providing some?
They did. They did after we fought for several years to get that interpretation. Yes, that's correct.
And my understanding from what I heard from Miriam is that there are concerns that that's not sufficient translation services. Is that correct?
Yes. So the first time that they attempted to provide interpretation was in 2017. It was a failed attempt. In 2019, we again asked for interpretation or translation, and what the state was offering was to segregate the Spanish speakers who wanted to be involved in these public hearings to a separate room where they would wear headphones and listen to consecutive translation. So somebody speaks and then somebody is interpreting that, and they couldn't hear or see, rather they couldn't see who was actually making these statements. So segregating a Spanish-speaking population to a completely separate room is, for us, a very clear violation of civil rights.
So before we let you go, Roseanne, the end game here, is it ultimately to stop this entirely so that there is no electrical substation near Chelsea Creek?
For this specific case, the end game is to either not have this substation in this neighborhood or, as Miriam said, to move it to the airport. If this is truly needed, then it could be moved to the airport, a space that is more climate resilient, that's further away from neighborhoods and is protected 24 hours a day. It doesn't need to be in a neighborhood on a site that not only is projected to flood, but already floods next to two public parks and jet fuel. Just nonsensical.
All right. That is Roseanne Bongiovanni, who is the executive director for the environmental nonprofit Green Roots Chelsea. Roseanne, I appreciate your time today. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
So still with us is WBUR's Miriam Wasser. Miriam, just briefly, reactions there to Roseanne?
Yeah, I mean, I think what she's said really, really eloquently and succinctly is that this is just a microcosm of an environmental justice issue in the state. It is the story of an overburdened community that's mostly made up of people of color, of immigrants, of people with limited English skills who just feel like the system is set up against them.
And how has the state responded to all this?
Yeah. So in an email that we received just before the show, the state's Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs, which oversees the Energy Facility Siting Board, said that the board encourages all interested residents to participate in the upcoming meetings and to provide comment. The spokesperson also reiterated the state's commitment to public participation and noted that it's taken numerous steps in the proceedings to provide meaningful language access for Spanish-speaking residents. And I will say, I think that the state and the Energy Facilities Siting Board are trying. It sounds like they've heard the concerns from people like Roseanne and Green Roots and the public and numerous elected officials who have weighed in on this, and that they're trying to do better. At a recent meeting, they made sure to talk slowly and give translators breaks. But someone mm-hmm. that I talked to a couple of weeks ago framed it like, is making these changes so late in the game too little when it comes to community concerns about this project.
Okay, so we have this heads up now. What do we watch for? This meeting's coming Monday. What are you watching for?
Yeah, so I will be watching to see how the translation goes. Groups like Green Roots have been trying to get the siting board to sort of restart the process over and reconsider whether the project is necessary at all, given that the need is based on data that's really old. Some members of the board have seemed totally set on not reopening that questions, but I think it'll be interesting to see whether all of these concerns about community involvement and language access and the lawsuits from CLF will push the board one way or another.
All right, that is WBUR's Miriam Wasser. Miriam, thanks.
Thank you.